I was waiting for Brian to get a spark there, and he had intended for me to just jump in and get us rolling. It'll be a long time. Well, I want you to know that both Jay and Bill were very strongly embraced as elders. So, looks like you have not only two elders, but with an incredibly high degree of support. I was with the church this past weekend, and Flavel Yakely actually was the lead consultant. I was a secondary person to the project that's been going on several months. And so he's done a lot of the work, but I did some of it, and I have my little piece. And so we had an all-day session that involved some difficult truths that we communicated to that church on a Saturday, and then we spoke to that church on Sunday. They needed to hear some difficult truths. One of the ladies in the Q&A had some questions, and it sparked a number of other questions, and it got to this. They said, tell us about a church that you've worked with where it really turned out well. And I started to think through some congregations about the time that, I'm sorry, but Flavel said in public, tell them about Reynoldsburg. And so I said, well, I was uncomfortable with that for two reasons. The first reason was because you had been named. And so I was a little awkward, and I felt like I really ought to give an anonymous kind of reflection. But the second reason I was uncomfortable was even more discomfort. And that was that the assumption of the question was, we are checking you out, Randy, to see if you can help us. And I said, I'm going to tell you about this church, but you need to understand that the reason they've done well is because of risks and decisions and commitments that they made. They are the reason they've done well. And the real question is, are you a Reynoldsburg? If you're a Reynoldsburg, any consultant can help you. That's the way I feel about you. That's what I communicated to that congregation. As you know, some members of this congregation did some work at Harding recently and communicated something about your story. The reflections and feedback after that was good. There have been people who have asked more about you. And I think back to the very early interactions with you. I've got this deal where I want to know nothing coming in the front door because I don't want to be preloaded. I want to know as little as possible so that people will know that I'm not, you know, bringing some agenda in the front door. That's so important. But once I've had those initial interactions, I try to consume all the information I can about you. And so with this congregation, when we first got started, I came in and, you know, had some interaction with a gatekeeping group and then interacted with the church. And then I began asking around, and the reputation that you had was that you are a troubled group that has continually had trouble. And as I push for specifics, well, it's just kind of general, but they always seem to have trouble with each other. Man, I think that's a long journey from that to Flavel Yakely saying, tell them about Reynoldsburg. And you are a model without trying to be a model. There's a difference in a beautiful woman trying to be a beautiful woman, right? There's just something about a person that is beautiful, and that's not really what they're about. That is you as a church. And on this long journey that you have gone through, I appreciate your reflection about, you know, seeing that light in that window and recognizing the dedication of a number of people who were willing to put their heart and soul into serving this church. And not only that, but the nature of the work, always a concern about the church, always pushing and challenging themselves to not be about themselves. And that willingness just pays off. It makes the difference. As I think, Rick, you said earlier, you know, God is glorified. God is displayed in this. And that comes off pretty good. I think there are a handful of markers on this journey that were markers that said things are going well. And I think the first marker was that you're unusual to start with because you had a church where people were frustrated, they were angry, and yet they were willing to give up control. The elders that you had in the incident, there was a willingness to be concerned about the body, maybe not agreeing with everything that was happening, but yet not an attempt to just hold on to my position. There's a good surrender of control, not knowing where this is going to go, and just trusting. And so that surrender of control, I think, was very important. And then another thing was that you had people who were willing to step up and say, we've got to do something. And whenever we look at the group that was the gatekeeper group, here's the group that reached out to me initially. I remember that first conversation as I was traveling down I-40 and it was raining, and I pulled into a Church of Christ awning and I sat under that so that I could hear. And I was impressed with the group from that point on because they wanted to include the previous elders to the extent that those people wanted to be included. And this group that brought me in was willing to say they might not need to be the group that I work with. There's a second willingness to give up control. And that group, the people who brought me in, were willing to step out. And so we said, you've got to legitimize this group. And the way we do this is harvesting from the church who the church is already listening to and who they trust. And as we didn't know the outcome of that, but we raised those questions and we put together that team, now we had a team that was legitimized by the church. And so that was important, to give up the second grasp of control. But then a third thing, you get this group and you come together, and these are the most influential people in the church. And the message is, the problem is that you're the most influential people in the church. And instead of that group bowing up, hair on the back of the necks, defensive, instead of that, it was, yeah, what do we have to do? So now you have a group that has said, we have put the problem in a room. And others who look at what's going on and don't know what's going on, they're not in the conversations. There's understandable questions. And people might say, well, the people who are the problem are in the room. Well, of course they are. That's exactly who we need in the room. But they are people who are the problem who know they're the problem. And so at core, what you end up with is a decision to be confessional. And to say, you know, it's the grace of God. And then an openness, receptivity, an awareness that we need to listen to each other and we have to deal with our issues. And if we deal with our issues, only then do we have legitimate credibility to go to the church and call the church to do the same thing. And I saw these people time and again being willing to do the work necessary to clean up issues between themselves. Things that were surfaced that had been there for years. And I didn't do it. I mean, it happened before my eyes. But these were courageous, risk-taking decisions that members of this church, whom you trust, they chose to pursue that path. And when that happened, they began interacting with each other with two variables, truth and love, and trusting God for the outcome, not knowing what the result will be. And then, as you know, they eventually began looking outside and saying, okay, what we've done with each other, we want to do with other people in the body. And at least give people the opportunity. Now, there was a time when you do that, and what do you do if somebody just doesn't play? They don't play with those rules. Well, now that's a real challenge, because the next milestone is, what do you do when somebody demands and says, no, that's not the way I'm going to do it? Well, I saw this group care for those individuals. I mean, really care for them. Not in a patronizing way, but care for those individuals. And at the same time, moving forward and giving them every opportunity, and yet not being willing to be held hostage. So, in other words, what you did as a church is you called each other to make a decision of faith. After that, you had another shift, and that shift was you got to experience the sweetness of some of this as things change. And rather than you needing to correct bad habits, like, for example, triangulation, rather than you having to correct bad habits, you found yourself in a position where you had the sweet experience of being able to reward good behavior and good habits. And I think that heroes amongst you begin to emerge. And even if these are people that you respected before, now you respected them in a new way and deeper. And perhaps even others that you saw dimensions of that you kind of knew were there, but you see that come out. And so the momentum shifts. And that just makes all the difference. I think that where you are is you are now a church that has two elders who have served in the past, but they will not serve in the same way now that they did then. And that's not to say anything bad about them then. That's not the purpose of that. But rather, it's to say that these are individuals who say, God is changing me. And so they have a high degree of credibility. And I think that you also have a pool of people who will serve beyond the Tom. It will include that group. But as that group goes out of existence as a formal group and becomes dormant in the congregation, it's kind of the immune system of your body. It's there, but not noticeable. And it also spreads so that the Tom will be more and more people than it was initially. But I think that there will be a growing pool of individuals who are mature, wise, loving Christians who understand redemptive love. And they will be partners. This eldership will partner with the mature members of the body for adult-to-adult ministry. And out of that will come another harvest of elders that I think eventually will expand the number of people serving in that formal capacity. And they will be people who are organically connected to the deep fabric of this church. And there'll be a driving conversation that is a conversation between ourselves and God and ourselves and each other. And we will taste. This is to mix metaphors a little bit, but if you think about the John 7 passage that he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Spirit, You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you will have a living conversation with God and each other that's so intricately connected that that will be your path forward, that conversation. And what you will be experiencing is the presence of God. Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. And it'll be a living God that you find in your connection. And it's in that connection and conversation that will give you your direction. So I think your leadership is new, not just in the people, in the nature of your formal leadership, and this connection with the other side of the table will always be there. Those would be my reflections. I am grateful for you. I love you. I feel loved by you. I want to be associated with you. And I want to keep on getting credit for work you did. And I am deeply appreciative. And I hope that our partnership will be forever. I hope it will be living forever. Let's pray together. God, nothing really compares to the hope that comes into our lives whenever you step in and do that which we cannot do. And thank you that not only do you give us that hope, but that you do it in such a way that is also a sweet experience of relationship, where we experience each other's heart, and we even learn things about our own as we surrender control, as we fearlessly trust you, and as we believe what we claim is true. Thank you that the way that you work is such that it actually pulls us together as a people. And for the fact that as we taste your work, it deepens our hope even more for the next challenge, the next obstacle, and the next moment of despair. And I pray that there would be a living hope that is at the center of this body that can never be put out, that fears nothing, and that fully calls us to give ourselves to whatever it is you're doing, to go wherever you send, do whatever you tell us to do, to be who it is you're transforming us into being. Thank you so much for Jesus and for the work that you've done through him and that you do in our lives. In his name we pray. Amen.